We are blessed. Let's continue in prayer. God, thank you so much for the gift you give us of worship, the gift you give us of knowing we are known by you, of coming to know you, especially through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the gift of your word. This morning as we gather, as we lift up our praises, we long to hear the word that you have for us, that we need to hear in the midst of the grief and the realities of the challenges of our world and of our lives. Like the saints who have come before us, like Mary so long ago who sat at your feet, give us ears to hear, Lord. Your servants are listening. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So this is so much fun. I know how to change the mood real quickly. You know what's coming Tuesday? I was sitting with somebody at lunch just, earlier this week and started to talk about the election, and suddenly you can kind of just feel the blood pressure starting to rise, you know, and okay, I want to make sure we don't say the wrong thing to each other, and you know, you never feel that at church though, right? Because we know we all stand on the same side of the aisle with our votes. I mean, I got to be honest, this is one of the big challenges for me as a pastor of any church, but certainly here at Salem, because I know you. It's a gift to me to know you. At many of you, and if I don't know you well, I look forward to that privilege. But I know that a lot of you don't agree with each other. Isn't that shocking? I mean, we all, we don't agree with each other. And as we head toward Tuesday, for many of us in our society, and even here at Salem where we love each other so much, tension, the anxiety is rising up. These are anxious times, fearful times. And of course, it's not just here in the United States. The anxiety seems to be rippling all around the globe and back again. As Psalm 46 says, the nations are in a tumult. The kingdoms totter. And listen to these words from Psalm 46. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You know, we've been fortunate, actually, over the last several years, it's become more apparent, at least to me, maybe to you, that this time of year, right around election time, Psalm 46 comes to the forefront again. It's been a really good thing. 2 years ago, you might remember, we had an election. You remember that? And anxiety was just rampant among us. And Psalm 46 was the scripture for Reformation Sunday. It is each year. That was last Sunday, the Sunday at the end of October. And this Psalm 46, this word, the nations are in an uproar, including ours. The kingdoms totter. God utters his voice, the earth melts. Remember this. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I mean, the whole psalm starts out by saying, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar in foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, though elections happen, or whatever else you might want to put into there. We will not fear. Amen? We will not fear, amen? Amen? We will not fear, amen? Amen? The psalm ends with these words, a call for us day after day, week after week, and certainly election season after election season. Be still. Wow, have you been able to do that lately? Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This month, we're going to be launching into a new sermon series. It's going to be called The Antidote, God's power. Discovering the power for life's challenges. I've got God on my mind, by the way, because the power comes from God. Discovering the power to overcome life's challenges. The antidote that we need desperately. We're going to talk about different elements of this each week over the next 4 weeks. But at the core of it is this psalm. At the core of it is this. The antidote to the challenges of life that we need to be taking every day in the midst of the dis-ease that is coming into our invading our bodies and our souls, our spirits, our churches, our society. In the midst of this, we need to take this antidote every day. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. It's critical that we take time each day, and certainly on Sundays as we come together, to drink of this good news, the Word of God, in the midst of all that's happening. That's a big part of what All Saints Day is about. As we remember these saints who have gone before us, we are reminded that this is a life of faith. They didn't get to, in this life, have all the answers any more than you and I do. They didn't get to, in their lives, be able to see the final destination, the joy of that feast in heaven. They saw it as a promise, as a hope that was set before them, that they journeyed toward. And that's what we're called to as well, a life of faith in this world. A life that's built on the promises of God. And so on this All Saints Sunday, it's a great day for us to listen to the word that God has been speaking through the ages, to set our eyes on the vision that God has for us that can call us forward. It reminds me of what it's like when I've gone kayaking or canoeing. You know, you get out the map at the beginning of the day and you set on the map based on what witnesses before you, maybe you've never been there before, but others that are reliable have told you, there's a great campground out there, and if you follow the course, if you stick with it through wind and wave, you'll get to this campground where you'll be able to fix a wonderful feast. You'll have safety and refuge and a good campsite for your tent. And so we've taken off in the morning, and we've started paddling with that destination in mind that we've actually never, ever seen ourselves, but we trust, we know in faith, is there. And so, sure enough, the wind and the waves, the challenges come, and we stay on the course. That's our call. It reminds me of when I was canoeing with a guy named Chuck Scott, a member of our congregation up in the Boundary Waters, brought my two sons, Jonathan and Mark, with me. And we were climbing by a waterfall. We'd taken a day trip away from our really nice campground to this waterfall. And Mark, as was usual, was climbing ahead on the rocks, and he slipped and he sliced his leg. And so I took off my shirt and wrapped it around his leg to hold things together. Our first aid kit was at our campsite. And so we go hustling down from the waterfall to the shoreline, grab this canoe, put it in the water, and we set off toward our campsite. We're paddling as hard as we can, but the wind has picked up in the afternoon, and it's dead set against us, and there are waves against us. And not only that, we picked up some biting flies while the canoe was sitting on the shore there. And so we're paddling along. Mark's in pain from his leg. We've got these stinking flies that are nipping at us. So, you know, you're kind of like, you know what it's like. It's no way to make progress in this world, but we had to keep at it. We kept on talking to each other, encouraging each other. We got to keep at it. We picked out like a point that's sticking out in the lake and said, okay, we're going to get to that point. We're going to cross that point, and then we'll know we're making progress, and then we'll pick out another one. We're going to keep at this. We can do this. We got to do this. What other choice do we have? And so we kept at it. And we got to our campsite, and sure enough, Mark got bandaged up, and we got to enjoy some food and a wonderful night out under the stars. Now, this is what God calls us to set our sights on, this vision that God sets out for us that is true, that is reliable, that we can count on. And through it all on this earth, we keep on moving forward, trusting in the promises of God. The text for the New Testament text for us this morning comes from Revelation, this great book that is really strange. And I know not many of us, myself included, spend too much time looking at it because it's so strange and kind of weird. But you need to know this about the book of Revelation. The word reveal, right? That it actually is written to reveal a greater truth that lies behind what we can right now see. So for the early Christians, for whom this book was first written, they're living in a society that you think yours is tough, was even tougher. Caesar, the emperor of the Roman Empire, is telling these people, the society around them is telling these people, you can't worship this Jesus. You've got to worship Caesar. You got to say you don't believe in Jesus. You got to believe in the power of the true Son of God. That's what they called him, Caesar. And so for Christians, they were in a tough place because they could literally lose their jobs, their families, their lives if they remained true to the vision, to the truth that they couldn't see, that Jesus is God, that God is faithful. And so as I read these words, actually, from the book of Revelation chapter 21, I want to invite you to think about this vision that John, the apostle, was inviting those people then, in the midst of the persecution, in the midst of the challenges, the grief, the difficulties of their lives, that vision that he was calling them to set their minds and their hearts on, come what may. Because we are called today, in the midst of the challenges, the grief of our lives, to set our minds and our hearts on this vision and to keep on going until that day when we join in celebration with those who have gone before us. This is Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice coming from the throne, saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Do you hear that word repeated? See, see, see the vision. You got to see this, even though all the world around you is telling you to believe something else. See the truth that lies behind, beyond the bigger picture that will swallow up all of this ultimately in the reality of God's kingdom that comes to earth. And so I want to invite you this morning to see the vision, to see what John the Apostle is calling us to believe, to trust in the midst of this. And the first thing is to see that God is on the throne. That in the midst of changing administrations and changing kings and queens and changing empires of the world, God is on the throne. You can trust this. That God is the Alpha, the beginning of all things, and God is the Omega, the end of all things. He will bring to completion what he started. You can trust God in this. In a few minutes, we'll recite the Apostles' Creed, this affirmation of faith that's been passed on to us by the saints over the centuries. And in it, we'll say that Jesus not only was raised from the dead, but ascended to the Father and sits on the right hand of God the Father, that place of authority. We can trust that God is on the throne. We can put our trust in God. Not only that, we can trust that because God is on the throne, good is coming toward us. Because God is coming toward us, right? That no matter how bad things go in your life, no matter how bad, how hard today might be, know this, that God means, intends, and will achieve good in your life. You know Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that God works all things together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his word. You can trust that good is coming to you. Like Psalm 23, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. That's the one. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Or as some of them say, will chase after me, nipping at my heels. That God and good are coming to you. This has been true since Adam and Eve. Remember, they sinned, they turned from God. God came to them. You remember that in the garden? Where are you? God comes to them. This is true for the Israelites when they're in Egypt and slavery or in exile in Babylon. This is true for us as we'll celebrate at Christmas, that God comes to us. Good comes to us through God. And we hear this in this passage. Did you notice how I saw the new Jerusalem, the holy city, coming down out of heaven from God, coming to us? We often think on All Saints Day, it's a good day for us to note this, that we are in this process of getting to heaven, getting to God. But actually, the promise of the scripture is that God comes to us, that the new Jerusalem, this home that God is building, comes to us. This is a critical thing for us to understand about Christianity, that this is not a religion in which we get to God. We work our way up there. We hope that we can do it. This is a religion, a faith, in which we trust God will, God does, God is coming to us. And we can only really say thank you. You know, Revelation 3:20, it says, behold, or see, or listen. It's that same word, that see, the vision. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone opens the door for me, I'll come in and eat with them and they with me. God is coming to us. Good is coming to us, no matter what your experience might be in the moment. More than that, here's the good news. God is actually with us right now. God says here in Revelation, it is done. Did you hear that? It is done. This is one of the things they talked a lot about in seminary, actually, is that the kingdom of God is something that is now and yet to be. That we experience God's presence, the Holy Spirit, as we put our faith in God, the gift of the Spirit. Now, we talk about, the scriptures talk about how our hearts are like a temple. We are a temple for the living God who lives in us, among us. God is here. So whatever it is we're facing, as we're going through grief or challenge in our lives, know that God's walking there right with you. That God is with you, giving you everything you need, your daily bread for the challenges that you face. You can trust this God. And finally, in this passage, I love how it calls us to know that God's promises, God's word, are trustworthy and true. Did you hear that? Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. That the promises of God are trustworthy and true. That this is the bigger picture. This is the reality that we can know. In the midst of whatever it is that we're facing in our lives, we're called on All Saints Sunday to put our faith in this journey, in the promises of God that are trustworthy and true. You can count on it. You can bank on it. You can lose your life for this. because God will see you through. See, I'm making all things new, God says. You can trust him. So I want to invite you this morning to think about what makes you anxious. What is it that you're fearful of? What are the challenges before you? And in the midst of all that, today, as we receive this gift of the sacrament of Holy Communion, as we pray, I invite you to put your hope and your faith in the promises of God. They are trustworthy and true. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are here with us. Thank you that the promises you have made are trustworthy and true, that you are trustworthy and true. Thank you that good is coming to us. We can count on it. Thank you that you, O Lord, are on the throne. We praise you, and we now, Lord, open our hearts, our bodies, to receive the gift of grace you offer. And even as we celebrate the sacrament, are mindful that it's not just us here in this room, but that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, that this communion table is a thin place where heaven and earth meet together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.